My name's Corbin Middlemass. This is Grandstand Lunch on ABC Sport. Professional cricketer Josie Dawley is our feature guest during the lunch break. Hello, Josie.
Hello, how are you going?
Thank you very much for joining us. More importantly, how are you going?
I'm going really well, thank you. It's so good to be here. Feeling really good and, just living life and,
It's awesome to see you. It's great to see you so full of life and with us here in the box. Michael Wagner, your partner, is also here with us. Hello, Michael.
Hello, how are you going?
Very well. You enjoying your day at the cricket?
Yeah, it's a great day. It's nice and warm, but loving it.
You've been on a hell of a journey. The pair of you, obviously, over the last 18 months or so after that trip to Hawaii, which was a surf holiday back in April 2024. I know a lot of our cricket audience will be familiar with the story. Quite simply, what happened on the trip to Hawaii?
Yeah, so it was the first night of our holiday. We got in, I had some headaches during the day, and we went to bed early, and I woke up at 3 a.m. with killing headaches in the back of my head. We went to emergency. We were on a small island of Kauai. We went to emergency, and they actually sent me home with a migraine. And then we had a couple hours at home, and then woke up again, and I could barely walk. Michael quickly grabbed everything and got us back to the hospital. They quickly realized that it was neurological, and I actually had hydrocephalus, which is fluid on the brain. That hydrocephalus was caused by a benign brain tumor. And unfortunately, there was no neurosurgeon on the small island, so they had me on an airplane getting me to Honolulu, where the neurosurgeon was, but during that time I had a major cerebellar stroke. So they actually, I was out of it, so Michael can probably talk about it a bit more, but yeah.
Yeah, just seeing obviously Josie deteriorate throughout that day and waiting to get on that flight was, a real testing time. And 1 minute you think you're on the holiday of a lifetime, and next minute you're in emergency in a life or death situation. So very scary.
But you guys are two young, fit people. You're off on this surf holiday. Josie, you're playing professional cricket for the Melbourne Renegades. I mean, there was zero sign that anything like this was going to happen. I imagine as terrifying as it was for you, Josie. Michael, you're also sort of living through it, fully conscious, wondering what on earth is happening. What is going through your mind while all of this is taking place?
Yeah, it was super scary, obviously. Being away from home as well added another layer to it, I suppose. But seeing the person that you love in that sort of state is super scary. I guess in that moment, you're sort of battling between staying optimistic and glass half full and knowing that, hopefully there's going to be a, good outcome come out of that situation. But at the same time, being realistic in that, it was a life or death situation. And for that, period of time until we actually landed in Honolulu, it was, super scary for us. And obviously, Josie's parents were on their way over, so they were in the dark, not knowing what was going on, obviously, while they were in the air on their way over from Australia.
It's an incredible, incredible story. I mean, Josie, I'm lucky enough to work with Michelle Gosko, who had a stroke around a similar time, and you two, I know were in communication during that period, and she's such an upbeat, vibrant figure in the world of cricket, as are you, of course, playing for the Renegades. Is there anything in retrospect that you look back on and thought, that's something that was probably a trigger or alluded to what obviously happened next?
So Gozzy was amazing. She reached out to me early on, and she spoke to me early on in hospital, and she was just so incredible. And to see where she is now gave me so much optimism, and she's a huge inspiration. And looking back, there was not really much. There was a few, I struggled a bit under lights. Don't know if that was just my, I put a few of those drop chances, keeping down to the tumor, but, no, there was not really anything that, they know. But yeah, when Dad first got to Hawaii, the surgeon came out and he couldn't believe I was even able to walk. That's how large my ventricles were. Amazing that I was playing professional cricket a couple of weeks earlier. So yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So as much as sort of we sit here and recount the story, and it's you have this stroke, turns out to be a benign tumor, gets treated, have to come back to Australia, and it all sort of, you can explain it in the space of you know, 60 to 120 seconds. And yet the days that you're living through during that period, so 93 days in hospital, 18 days in ICU, you spent a month in Honolulu alone. So I guess what was the delay and 26 days without being able to speak? I mean, they're long periods of time, Michael, where I'm sure you're living through thinking, what's going to happen next? I guess what was the reason for the delay and not being able to come home sooner?
Yeah, I suppose it was very tough, especially while we were over in Hawaii, those early days. You know, watching Josie, you know, she was unable to eat, unable to talk. Our communication was sort of through initially some hand gestures and things like that. And then a friend sent over a Magna Doodle, the old kids toy. So scribbling on that a little bit once Josie was able to hold on to the pen and scribble some words. So yeah, it was very full on in those early days. And I guess some of the delays, there was a few complications that happened with some fluid in the lungs and things like that, which just, I guess, was part of the reason why we ended up staying in Hawaii that little bit longer. So close to a month, as you said, in the end.
Yeah, I was. We're very grateful. Mum set up a WhatsApp group early on, and she was sending out a daily update. I think by the end there was about 350 members of the WhatsApp group. I think Buff was on it. We were getting messages every day from all the support, all the people back home. They actually made a Spotify playlist for me. So Even though I couldn't speak or really communicate, I would just put on about 8 hours of music from all different genres, all different age groups putting in the songs, and I would just listen to it for hours. And that sort of just made me feel like I was back home and with all the loved ones around me. So even though we're so far away, we felt that support with us the whole way.
And when you did get on the flight to be able to come back home, I imagine that would have been a very long and anxious trip back to Australia.
So myself and John, Josie's dad, we actually headed home a couple of days earlier just to get organised back home, and Leanne jumped on the flight with Josie, little stopover in Fiji to refuel.
One of the heroes of the story is Covermore. Thankfully, I had a $250 travel insurance. So that's thankfully I had that, because obviously the U.S. health system is extremely expensive. So with that, I was able to get a life flight back to Australia. The crew was incredible. They made me feel so safe. I still had my trachea at that point, so I still was getting oxygen in through that. So it was extremely terrifying leaving the amazing allied health team that I had in Honolulu. But as soon as the Aussie crew came in and I heard their accents, it just felt like I was being saved by these heroes. So yeah, it was very daunting getting on that flight, but I was in such great hands.
It's just over 18 months ago. You're sitting here now at the Gabba. You don't look like the type of person that had a significant stroke in April 2024. You look excellent, and you guys are in great spirits. I mean, how are you this far on, and what kind of ongoing impacts of what you went through are you still feeling?
Yeah, so the stroke was in my cerebellum, which is sort of your main coordination system. So I get a bit wobbly on my feet when I'm a bit fatigued, and then my left side was affected, so my hand is very numb in my left arm, and then the other major thing is my vision. So I have nystagmus, which means pretty much your eyes don't ever stay still, they just jump up and down. The connection to the brain has been disrupted, so that's sort of the main things. Obviously the goal is to get back on the cricket field, and it's a bit tricky when your vision isn't where it was. So I can't drive, but other than that, like, I'm so grateful for where I am, and I'm had the most amazing support. The health system in Australia obviously is just so grateful to be here, and to have all the support around me.
Pro cricketer Josie Dooley with me alongside her partner Michael Wegner on ABC Sport during the lunch break. Grandstand at lunch on day three at the Gabba, with Australia 8 for 450 and the lead is 116. So cricket on the back burner for the time being, but is it true you've sort of set your sights on another sport?
Yeah, so I'm part of the inaugural QAS Para Unit. So I train out at QAS 3 days a week, and it's sort of a program that gets all the para athletes in, and they help you find a sport. And the sports I'm doing at the moment are shot put and table tennis. So hoping to go as far as I can in those, and to be competing at a home Olympics in 2032 would be pretty amazing. So yeah, that's sort of my goal at the moment.
That's awesome. How did you come across shot put? Out of every single sport out there, how do you narrow down and say, you know what, I'm going to try and do that?
Yeah, I think they knew I was a cricketer, so they thought I could throw, but I was a keeper. So, but no, it's good. I'm really enjoying it. I had my first meet a couple of weeks ago, and it's just great bit competing again. I really miss that. Yeah, obviously a very different sport, but just getting those competitive juices flowing again has been unreal.
Yeah, you guys are an inspiration. It's awesome what you've how well you look this far on after being through something, that I'm sure would have left a fair bit of trauma and a lot that you've had to recover from, and now nice to see you back in the sporting arena. How are you, Michael? How's life changed? How are you going sort of 18 to 20 months on from the whole episode?
Yeah, going well. Obviously, we were both down in South Australia. Obviously, Josie playing down there at SACA, and yeah, that's where I'm from. So obviously, after everything's happened, obviously Brisbane is the place to be with Josie, to be around her family. So yeah, made the move up and trying to acclimatise to this Brisbane summer. But yeah, it's been a good move, and it's just great seeing Josie and I guess her motivation with the QAS program and. You know, it's everyone's, I guess, dream to be an elite athlete, and Josie was lucky enough to do that. Unfortunately, yeah, to have that, you know, taken away through no fault of her own, but to now see her, I think that's put her in good stead with that motivation and that drive to push for what's next and those aspirations for Brisbane 2032, hopefully.
How good. Josie Dooley and her partner Michael with us in the box during Grandstand at Lunch. You're obviously still so connected with the cricket world. I mean, you come from a cricketing family. We saw your brother Paddy obviously play in the Big Bash, and I've followed your career for many years. I also was lucky enough to cover the WBBL final last year, of course, where the Melbourne Renegades won the title. And you were very much a seminal figure as part of all of that, where your plain shirt hung in the dressing room for most of the year. And there was a little caption, which I'm not sure we can read on radio, that was attached to all of that. But how much contact do you still have with the Renegades girls, obviously still very much in the season at the moment?
Yeah, so I've actually spent the last few weeks down in Melbourne with the girls. Obviously not the season that they would have liked. I think there's still a chance they can make it, just need the Heat to win. But no, to be there last year, when I first got back to Australia, 5 or 6 of the girls came and saw me in hospital. And that was a huge motivation for me to keep pushing in those early days in rehab. I just wanted to be there. I wanted to be around the group. That's the thing I've missed the most, is being a part of the team. And to be back with them this year as well, I'm hoping to stay involved in cricket as much as I can. I love the sport, and yeah, just to be around the women's game is just such incredible, and to see where it's going. So it's been great.
What does the rest of today look like? Will you stick around and watch the rest of the day?
Yeah, that's the plan. Obviously the Aussies going well here, the tail wagging, so excited to see what they can do later on the Savo and tonight.
Thanks heaps for dropping by. It's great to see you guys looking so well. So appreciate you coming by and having a chat to us. We follow the episode closely here on ABC Sport. All the very best on the path ahead. And hey, 2032, we'll see you there at the Paralympics. Appreciate your time as always, Josie and Michael.
Thank you so much. Thanks,
Corbin. Appreciate it.
Michael Wagner with us, the partner of Josie Dooley and, of course, former pro cricketer Josie Dooley, who's now on the path towards the Para Games in 2032. An incredible human interest story and, of course, so close to the cricketing family. It is Grandstand at Lunch on day 3 at the Gabba. The Premier of Queensland, David Crisafulli, joins me in the ABC broadcast box. David, appreciate your time.
Appreciate yours, Corbin. Thank you to you and your listeners for what is a magnificent afternoon of Test cricket.
Now, a young lad from a cane farm in Ingham, who's now the Premier of the state. I imagine if you cast your mind back as a young lad running around playing cricket in Ingham, Imagine you would have been listening to ABC Radio, following along what's going along with test matches across the way.
Yeah, I just wanted to play test cricket for my country. I wasn't good enough. So politics was a good fallback option. No, I love it, mate. No, you're right. In Ingham, it was league in the footy season, and it was cricket in the cricket season. And it was, I am cricket mad. I love it. I really do. And to see this spectacle of having people come here and be happy, to see a test match go longer than 2 days, why wouldn't you start the series here? If you're listening, Mike Baird, chairman of Cricket Australia.
You guys are dirty about that, aren't you? You're keen to get the first test of the summer back?
It's interesting. Somebody said to me, oh, look, what does it matter? Well, tell that to Victorians that they shouldn't have Boxing Day. It's who we are. And the record shows that it's been a really, really happy hunting ground for our nation's cricket sides. Why would you let go of that advantage? And for us as parochial Queenslanders, it's part of our identity. It's who we are. So we've done a deal with Cricket Australia. When the new stadium is built in 2032, the first test will be returning here, but I'm not going to mince words. We'd like to see it a little sooner than that, so we're starting the arm wrestle to get it home for a few more swan songs at this beautiful ground here.
There's only four test matches next year. There's one in Perth, one in Adelaide, one in Sydney, one in Melbourne. I'm not counting one in Brisbane. So what happens for cricket fans in your state next year?
Well, two things. One is that's not Cricket Australia's fault. The future of this ground a couple of years ago, it was uncertain, so they had to lock it in. So that error has been fixed, and then the year after it will be returning here. We do have a test in Mackay, which will be good, which will test against Bangladesh. But, to not have a test in Brisbane is a massive, massive hole in our nation's cricket calendar. Now, that will be repaired the year after, so that's good, and we will resume normal transmission. But I still do believe once the deal finishes with Perth in 27-28 to have the first test of the summer there, it really should be back to Brisbane. As I said, we've iced it from 32, which will be amazing because we'll host the Olympic and Paralympic Games at a brand new stadium. We'll have a couple of months to get it ready, pull up the track, lay some turf, and put on an amazing spectacle. But there's still four summers beforehand when that deal expires, and I think it makes complete sense to return the first test to the Gabba.
Mackay's come a long way to think it's now going to be a test venue. I know when cricket first started to push more and more fixtures into that part of the world, the Australian cricket team obviously went there for some white ball games, but now all of a sudden a test match in our latest test venue in 2026.
It's a nice deck too. It's a nice deck, and it's we're investing quite heavily there. We're putting some extra facilities into it, and it's great. One of the things that we've done with the Olympic and Paralympic Games, we've deliberately tried to show that it's not just about Brisbane, that there are regional venues. And so the prospect of cricket, and it's looking pretty good. If they're going to have it in the States, they'd be crazy not to have it here in Queensland. I would love nothing more than to have some amazing games at Harrop Park in Mackay. Imagine the grand final game, which will be the last match here. I'd love Australia to beat India in the final game at the Gabba. And then this grand old girl would say goodbye. And that would be something really, really special. So, we're fighting very hard to make sure that cricket is an Olympic and Paralympic sport in 32.
Yep. So this ground will be involved in the Olympic program?
Absolutely. This ground will stay until 32 when the new venue comes online. What will then happen here is this will be an urban renewal precinct. We're building an arena with the private sector next door, which will be really good. A world-class city like Brisbane does need a world-class arena. And then this will be an amazing urban redevelopment play. But
a multi-purpose indoor arena?
The arena next door will be more around an entertainment slash indoor arena. So we're thinking more concert venues, but there's a number of other things that it could host and things that it could do. But this will remain. We will maintain this until the end of the games. And that's a very, very subtle a very subtle message to the IOC that we really do think cricket should be in the 32 games. Now, that decision is still being made, but I can tell you it would be an amazing spectacle. And the other thing is it opens up new eyeballs on the subcontinent who may not otherwise not be as interested in the games. So it'd be amazing, quite frankly.
It's going to be a huge part of your time in office, obviously, as the Premier of Queensland, David Crisafulli, with me on ABC Sport. It's all of a sudden we're about to tick over into 2026. It's only 6 years away. Are you on track?
We are, Corbyn. And look, I'm not going to do the sad story and say that we don't have time, because we do. And yes, it would have been great if we got cracking years before, but I can't control that. That predated my time in office. But what I can do is give people a vision that we've got our house in order and we can deliver this. And the two best reasons I can say to people why they should have confidence, the first is we've delivered the Olympic and Paralympic delivery plan, and you can see there what we're delivering, where, in partnership with who. And the second thing is, when those magic words were read out loud that the winner was Sydney, that was 1993, so that was 7 years before 2000. So we've got that period of time, and we are underway, and we will do this, and it won't just be about the sporting infrastructure. It's Queensland, there's a real buzz at the moment around the place, there really is, but it's about road and rail, it's a 20-year tourism vision, it's using the Paralympic Games to improve accessibility. That's a really big focus of mine, because I think there's some amazing opportunities there. We can really take our arts offering to the next level. It's going to be a special time, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Have you broken ground at Victoria Park?
Yeah, we've begun the core drilling there to test what things are like. We will be announcing the successful architectural firm very, very soon, and work will be in full swing by next year. So we've got time. And the beautiful thing, and why my initial thoughts was I thought it would be a redevelopment here or a new facility next door. The report showed we don't have time to do that, and the dislocation of the Lions and the Bulls and the need to have built alternate venues meant that that wasn't the case. The good news is we get to build a new stadium, which will be world-class, 63,000 seats post-games, and then this grand facility can continue to have its use until 32, so including hosting Test cricket, including the first Test of the summer, which would be really, really good if I've mentioned that once or twice.
What will the Technicolor seats go to the new stadium? Will we still have the maroon, yellow and blue seats?
Oh, it would be... If we can replicate as much of the Gabba at the new facility, we should continue that, including a pitch that isn't drop-in.
You talk down your cricketing ability. I saw you bowl some pretty brisk medium pace, so I wouldn't be doing that too much. David, appreciate your time. All the very best, Premier. Thanks heaps for your time, as always, on ABC Sport, and enjoy the rest of the day at the cricket.
Wonderful opportunity. Thank you very much for your time, Corbin, and let's get it done tonight.